wireless mics, and we hadn't had that long. Technician came, he couldn't find anything wrong with them, and suggested that we send everything back to the manufacturer. They kept them 2-3 weeks. Everything was working fine, and the only way they did have them malfunction while they had them, and said the only thing they could figure out is that all three of the receivers back there, or transmitters here, whichever, were all on the same frequency. That would be like all three of them being on 760 WJR. And they said when they're all on the same frequency, that right? That a good way to explain it, Nick? When they're all on the same frequency, they have a tendency to begin to interfere with the other one. So they changed the frequency of all three of the new ones, and you be the judge. You all be the judge, because when I'm standing up here, I don't hear half of what you're hearing coming out of those speakers. So speak up if they're not right, and I'll turn it back over to my sound man, Dick, here. How's that sound, Dick?
Yeah,
okay. All right, Psalm 111 for our scripture reading this morning. I was reading this psalm earlier in the week, and was blessed by it, and the thought struck me, this would just be a good one for our scripture reading this week. Just think about what you're reading as you are following along and reading there to yourself. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. That's what we're doing right here. Amen? That's what we're doing. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat or food unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hands are verity, or truth and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wonderful words. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. I trust you never tire of hearing God's word. Let's pray. Father, we do want to just thank you that we can be here today. It seems as though our service has been such a blessing from the very beginning of it. We think of the songs and the words. We thank you for your word and the reminders of your greatness, reminders of your faithfulness always to your people. We thank you that we can trust your word. The commandments are established forever. And I pray, Father, that this would be a day that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. We cannot grow ourselves any more than a plant can grow itself. that when all the things are in place, growth takes place because of your greatness. And I pray that that same thing might happen with us this day. May our hearts be such that as your Holy Spirit wants to speak to our hearts and apply the truth of your word to our hearts, may we grow in that grace and knowledge of you. May we not leave this place the same as when we came, as far as our hearts and our walk with you. I do pray that you would continue to be with folks that are not feeling well, strengthen them. Thank you that we are able to have Kayla with us today. She's had such a miserable week. We thank you that that kidney stone finally passed. We think of others of our congregation that are dealing with different issues. How we praise you, though, that none of our folks are dealing with this dreaded virus that we hear so much about. Pray that you would be glorified in the things that are happening in our nation. Father, there is a spirit of unrest, resistance, rebellion, evil that is much at work trying to tear down anything that is yet good. And I pray that you might defeat their efforts. I pray for our president, our governor, and all who would be in authority over us. Guide them as they do their jobs. Pray that you would lead them to make right decisions and choices. Thank you again for the time that we have here and what you have for us now as we turn to your word. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord was a master teacher. Storytelling using familiar objects was a specialty of his during his earthly ministry. You read the Gospels and you see time after time the Lord would just pick a familiar object or topic or subject to drive home the truth. And he did that so that people could relate to the truth he was trying to convey. As we continue in our series of some of the foundations in Scripture, the text that we're using today is going to be one of the more familiar examples of the Lord applying his truth, using an illustration that all of his hearers could understand. For you note takers, our material today is going to be found in Matthew 7, 24-27, and Luke 6, 46-49. What's that about? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, sing it, and the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon
and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. And the house on the rocks went.
So build your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord.
I didn't know we were going to sing that whole thing, but you did really well. Don't follow the director. He'll have you build the foolish man building on the rock. And that's not the way the story goes, is it? Well, that's our text today. And I was thinking, what a familiar story, but what a tremendous truth. As we think of this, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and let's get a couple background thoughts leading up to our actual text. We start with verse 13 and 14 of Matthew 7. The Lord had completed his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 6, and in some closing truths, he was teaching some various thoughts to impress upon his listeners the importance of what he had been teaching them. And in verses 13 and 14, it shows us that most people, the majority of people, live their lives traveling on the Broadway, which leads to destruction. Agree or disagree? Are most people saved or lost?
Lost.
And they're on that Broadway to destruction. And we find the Lord Jesus said, few people truly travel the way, the straight way, or the narrow way, which leads to life. Now, the interesting thing is the majority of people would tell you they found the way of life. The majority of people would tell you they're content with the way they're living. I don't need your Jesus. I'm doing just fine. Well, the devil is a master of what? Deceiver. And the majority of people have been deceived thinking that I'm okay. I'm going to be all right. And as we've said on numerous occasions, it's always interesting to me how that upon the death of somebody who has lived like the devil himself, listen to the funeral words or listen to the people that are gathered for the funeral, friends and loved ones, and they talk about this person as being so much better off up there in heaven looking down forever. Well, that's the way, because most people think God's such a good God, he wouldn't truly send anybody to hell. He's going to let anybody in, no matter what kind of a wretched life they live. But in verses 13 and 14, the Lord cautioned his listeners, make sure you go in the narrow or straight gate which leads to life. Not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one is coming to the Father but by me. I don't care what other route this person, there is only one way. Oh, how our world today hates the message of this pulpit and the truth of the Word of God. But that's what it says. Now, looking down at Matthew 7:21-23, still as background to bring us up to our building project here, in a few verses later, Matthew 7:21-23, these verses teach the truth that more than just talk and a track record of service is required in order for there to be a true relationship to the Lord. What do you mean more than talk or track record? These verses, Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, there's your talk. Oh, Lord, you know I love you. Oh, sure. You accepted the Lord? Oh, sure. Why did you live that? But there are so many, and the Lord is saying, on that day, not everybody that's going to approach me, oh Lord, it's so good to see you. Oh Lord, Lord, Lord. He said, not everybody that's going to come to me uttering my name is going to be entering into heaven. Only those that have done the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he says, many are going to say to me on that day, let me review my track record of service for you, God. Let me just remind you of how faithful I was. And they're going to talk about, don't you remember how we prophesied in your name? Don't you remember how we cast out, in your name we cast out demons, devils, and boy, we did all kinds of amazing. You remember when we were active in our church? You remember all those years of teaching Sunday school? Do I dare say there's going to be some that would say leading in Awana? And boy, all of those things, you know. Lord, my record speaks for itself. Just look at it, Lord. What's he going to say? To many, many, that's the word there in verse 21. Not just a few. Many, which suggests to me there's a lot of people that are duped. A lot of people are planning on entering into heaven under a false assumption, because he says, on that day, after I listened to their talk and I've reviewed their track record, I'm going to say to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You could talk the talk and you could fill out the time card on your record of service. Oh, you had people fooled, but you didn't have me fooled. I never knew you. You never were one of mine. Which brings us to the connection to our text. The connection is found in the first word of verse 24. And what is that word? Therefore, which means, what's it there for? It's relating to what
what we previously talked about. And there's a lot, but all we suggested was the two roads that one could travel, and whether or not, just because a person talks the talk and fills out the time card as far as service at the church, doesn't necessarily mean that they truly know the Lord as their own personal Savior. So the connection here in Matthew is going to be in verses 24 through 27. In Luke 6, it's going to be verses 46 through 49. And let's examine these verses by, first of all, making some comparisons. I just encourage you, it might be simpler if you would put one bookmark there at Luke 6 and another one here in Matthew 7 so that when we're flipping, you're not left behind trying to figure out where we're at. I'm doing the same thing up here, and I would encourage you to do the same. Let's make some comparisons. Having said that, number one, let's notice the familiar features. Whether you're in Matthew or Luke, there are some similar features. Similar features. Both of these references are going to be talking about two individuals. Now, they happen to be men, but the same truth whether or not it would be a man or a woman, a boy or a girl. Two individuals we're going to be talking about. Notice, and we'll just look right here at verse 24 of Matthew. We see that this first person heareth these sayings of mine. Look down at verse 26. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine. What we're pointing out is that both of these individuals are on equal footing. The Lord is not going to be talking about the case where one person happened to have more knowledge, happened to hear more, happened to understand more, had more opportunities. One was in the dark, the other one happened to have the opportunity to have much exposure to the teachings and the word and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Equal footing. Both have listened to the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Another similar feature, whether we're in Matthew 7 or Luke 6, both individuals built a house. As Jesus would be conveying truth to his listeners, do you think there were people that were scratching their heads saying, I don't know what he's talking about. I can't understand. No, the Lord Jesus was a master at picking objects so that people could relate. We all understand about how houses are built. I did not say we could all build a house. Some of you here may have in years gone by. But we all have watched houses being built. They don't spring up overnight, do they? Even modular homes that today it's an empty lot and tomorrow it's in place. There was a factory where they had to build it one board at a time, one nail or one screw at a time.
Well, in these, in the truth, the Lord is trying to convey the similar feature. Both had heard. Both knew the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the story, both built the house. Now, what this is picturing is, it's a picture of what they do with their lives, how they live their lives, pictured in the house that they build. It's a picture of what they do with the truth concerning the Lord Jesus, and as they move on in life, as they progress, as they, you know, mostly live out on the street, you need a house to live in. And so both individuals heard the truth, and both began to build the house. In both texts, Matthew 7 and Luke 6, see if you're writing these things down, each experienced the same issues of life. So many people are so quick to try to excuse themselves away. You begin to talk to them, and they are so quick to say, "But you don't understand. I haven't had the opportunities that you've had. Things have never been as bad for you as they are for me." That's one that's often brought and thrown in people's faces. "You've never had things as bad as I am experiencing them. If what has happened to me happened to you, you'd be responding no differently." As we're looking at these similar comparisons, both individuals experience the same issues of life. Matthew refers to it with the words rain, floods, and wind. Whether it was the first man or the second man that built the house. Same thing. Luke says the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, whether it was the first individual or the second individual. Same thing. You see where we're going with this, beloved? The Lord, in telling his story, was making it very clear. There are features here that are similar. And nobody is going to be able to cry, "I'm an exception. I ought to be excused." No. A, both heard the sayings of the Lord. B, each one built a house. And C, each experienced the same issues of life. Those were our similar features, but let's move on to number two, and let's look at, secondly, the different features in the Lord's teaching. The different features. A, the Lord had different names for these men. A, we find the first man in Matthew, he called him a wise man. He called him a wise man. The second man in Matthew's account, the Lord Jesus called a foolish man. Well, that's kind of different, isn't it? How would you like to be known as? I think we know, don't we? That's a no-brainer. We all would like to be referred to as a wise individual. And as the Lord was telling the story, he said one of these men was wise, but the other one was foolish. Stark contrast. B, as we look at different features, we find Matthew's account tells us that that first man built his house upon a rock. He built his house upon a rock. He went down and found solid base. But Luke's account tells us that first man digged deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. You were wondering, how come you're talking about this? We haven't seen the word foundation once. There you go. The first man dug deep, Luke says, and he laid the foundation upon a rock. Now the second man, Matthew says, that man that Jesus referred to as a foolish man, Matthew says the second man built his house upon the sand. We sang about that. Luke says that second man, without a foundation, built a house upon the rock. What a key truth. Without a foundation. What a picture of a life without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a house without what? A foundation. So we've seen some different features. A, what the Lord called these two men that differed. B, where these two men built their houses. One upon a rock, laid his foundation right there, solid. The second one, why waste time putting a foundation down? Why waste time getting something solid? This will be okay. And he just slapped his house together right on top of the dirt. Here's another different feature. What about that man, or what about that house that first man, whom Jesus called the wise man, after that rain and flood and wind arose, what happened to that first man's house? Matthew says it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. It weathered the storm. It was able to stand. While what? The second man's house immediately fell, and it says, and the ruin of that house was great. After the clouds cleared and the sun rose the next morning, as these men went out and to look to see what happened. What? That was a bad storm last night. The wise man, his house still stood. I hope the foolish man got out before his fell. But he was under a bunch of rubble, wasn't he? Because his house fell and the ruin of that house was great. Well, with these similarities and these different features, we ask ourselves, what made the difference? What made the difference. What truth was the Lord trying to get his listeners to understand as he was telling this story on that particular day? Number three, for you note takers, here's the essential factor. The essential factor in a summary statement, it has to do basically with this. A person's response to Christ. A person's response to Christ. Remember, we saw a few moments ago, as we looked at the similar features, both of these men were hearing what Jesus was saying. It very plainly records that. It wasn't the case of one man listening and another man saying, "Don't talk to me about that, I don't want to hear." We've seen that both men had equal beginnings. They both had heard and both understood what Jesus was trying to teach them and what he could mean to their lives. And the essential factor was this. It tells us that the first man did the sayings of the Lord. The first man did the sayings of the Lord. He obeyed. Both accounts tell us that though they had all of these things equal, where the first man did the sayings of the Lord, responded, accepted, and said, "Yes, Lord," it tells us the second man did them not. "No, thank you. I know what you want. I heard what you said, but not for me. I don't need that. I don't want that." That second one responded. You see, the essential factor is responding to and receiving the teaching of the Lord or rejecting that teaching makes all the difference in every person's life. Man, woman, or child. Responding to, and whether you receive it or reject it, is going to make all the difference in that person's future. Now, as we look at this, as we think of this familiar story, we sang the hymn, "Sing Them Over Again to Be Wonderful Words of Life," and as we looked at this, and we think, "Well, I've heard that story my whole life about the wise man and the foolish man," I think it's probably safe to say that most of us have either heard it applied time and time again, or have applied the truth of these stories time and time again as picturing salvation of one person and another person unsaved. Agree or disagree? That's probably the way we have interpreted that. But that's certainly true. But as I prepared my heart and as I looked at these passages in recent days. The truth here in this familiar story of these two individuals, it has a far greater application than just whether they accept Jesus as their personal Savior or whether they reject Him. It has a far greater application. As I think about issues of life that come up, even for the saved, the person who has accepted the Lord, isn't it safe to say, we've heard His word, we know the truth, we know what He says, but how many times do we do His sayings as a Christian with our lives? Let's use what's going on in our world around us here. The uncertainty of life with the COVID virus, ever present. We've heard the words of the Lord, haven't we? We've heard His sayings. But in your own heart, as you think about your life, as you think about your world around you, ask yourself, is your heart filled with trust in the Lord? Are you believing what He's saying? Or is your heart filled with doubt? Would you say you're facing this whole thing and the outcome of it by faith in the Lord? Or is your day after day one of fear? Oh, I hope I don't. I hope it does. Faith or fear? Are you doing the words of the Lord? Or are you not? We know what those words are. We know that He teaches us that our lives are in His control. We know that He tells us in His word that there is not anything that happens to us that is not something that He has allowed to come our way. But so many of us, rather than showing calm, we're in the crisis mode. So many of us, rather than living our lives in peace, we're panicked. Oh, I hope. I look at this story that we've heard, I've heard my whole life, and I think it's more than just the truth of, are you going to accept the Lord as your own personal Savior and be done with it? Or are you going to reject Him? I have been looking at how my word, this, the truths here of hearing His words and doing them, that is something that we do every day with our lives. We either do His word or we don't. We could look at this story and we could begin to remind ourselves, for instance, back in chapter 5 of Matthew, the Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I ask myself, I ask you, how often do I do the words of the Lord? When I do, I'm a wise person. But when I don't, I'm a foolish person. I think about how John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I hear his sayings. But am I going to be wise and say, okay, Lord, by your grace, I'm not going to have the love and the desire for the things of the world? Or as a believer, do I say, I know I'm not supposed to love the world, but I sure do seem to enjoy this, Lord. Am I wise or am I foolish? One of his epistles, Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the sayings of the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Do I? If I do, I'm a wise man. Or don't I? James put it another way in James chapter 1. Beginning at verse 22. The same similar truth that the Lord has been teaching here in Matthew 7 and in Luke 6. Listen to James. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's the difference between the two men in the story. One was a doer of the word. Both were hearers. Deceiving your own selves, for if any be a hearer of the word, oh, I know what God's word says. I know how I'm supposed to be living my life, but if any is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is, here again, now James is using that same method that our Lord used. Bring it down to a subject, a topic, an illustration that we can get the picture, so to speak. He said, if a person hears the word but they don't do it, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, like somebody looking at himself in a mirror, for he beholds himself, goes his way, but immediately forgets what he looked like. Forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, hears the words of the Lord, hears what the Holy Spirit is wanting to teach us, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's the wise man. I ask you to ask yourself this morning, what am I? What characterizes my life? Oh, none of us are perfect. None of us always do what we're supposed to do. That's why we are so thankful for the forgiveness of the Lord. 1 John 1:9, and that we have an advocate that sits at the Father's right hand. Because I need him time and time again. But what is the aim of your life? What is the thing that you work toward, shoot for? Is it to be a doer of his saying? Like the wise man in our story, your life will be blessed. When the storms come, you'll stand. Oh, we may falter a bit, but when we get our eyes back on and we're doing what he asks us to do, will weather those storms. But for those who say, yeah, I know, but, yes, but, I can just guarantee you, you're not going to make it through the storms. Your life's going to be one basket case and tragedy after another. And it's not because you didn't know any better. It's not because you haven't had the same opportunities. It's because of choices we make with our own hearts. Will I do what I know I'm supposed to do? If I do, that's wisdom. But if I know what I'm supposed to do and it's foolishness, and in James 4 it even calls it sin. The essential feature is obedience. It always has been with the Lord. Old Testament, New Testament, that's what God is looking for. And that's the heart of the old story that has been so familiar to us about the wise man and the foolish man. It revolves around, what am I going to do with what Jesus says? Shall we close in prayer? Father, thank you that we can be here today. Thank you for the word. I thank you for your enablement. I trust that you have been glorified with what you laid on my heart. I trust that you have been able to speak to our hearts. I trust that we'll not just walk away from here and say, well, there's nothing for me. Lord, there's plenty for me personally. And I trust there are for the hearts of our congregation. I pray, Father, that we might be doers of your word and not hearers only. Get the glory in what we do with this message in each of our lives. I ask this.